Welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. My name is Erin Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And do tell us, Bill, do we have a sponsor this
hour? Yes, we do. Our sponsor is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. Pape Machinery carries everything there is in small ag and turf products. Go by and see them if you need Honda generators. That time of the year is coming around. They have a great stock of Honda as well, and they are soon to be the largest steel dealer in the area. So lots going on down there. Go by and see them. They're at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. Or you can get them on the phone at 226-9226 or on the web at papemachinery.com.
P-A-P-E.
P-A-P-E.
There you go.
There you are.
So we're having a part two show today. Today is March 8th, 2020. Kind of an auspicious day. We've all lost an hour of sleep, which you'll notice that right away if you haven't already. So let's see. We lose an hour of sleep this week. There's a full moon this week, and Friday is Friday the 13th.
Yeah, be careful out there.
So, you know, I mean, barring a meteor strike, I think we pretty much like covered all the potential things. Well, and then we have the, you know, the coronavirus. So on a lighter note about the virus, since we're going to talk serious about it, my sister teaches elementary school, and she had a little girl in her class. And she
this is really sad.
She wanted to talk to her out in the hallway. She's got this really, like, sad face on, and she goes, I really need to talk to you in the hallway. And so my sister goes out there and says, you know, what's going on? And the kid goes, I have to tell my mom something really, really sad, and I don't know how to do it. And she's like, really sad? I mean, how sad could it be? The kid's in fourth grade. She goes, no, I've got to tell her something really. She's going to be really sad when I tell her. So they go through this whole thing, and she's like, you can tell me. You know, what is it? And the little girl says, I've got the corona. And my sister's like trying not to laugh because the kid's really broken up about it. She's like, you've got the corona? What does that mean? She goes, it's the sickness. She goes, how do you know that, sweetie? My brother told me this morning on the way to school.
Big brothers are good for
so while adults are worrying, children are tormenting their siblings with the corona.
The corona.
Oh, my gosh. So that's the only fun thing we're going to tell you today, I guess. Pretty much the end of it. Fun is over. We are moving on to Beyond the Coronavirus Part 2 with Dr. Shizong Chen and Eureka Young. You can find all this information and the previous shows, actually, at wethepeopleradio.us. I would encourage you to go and listen to the shows we've done on China, because a lot of that information makes sense of what we're seeing now. We had no idea, like, whatever, 14 months ago or so, that we would be, having an outbreak of a virus that started in China. But it's interesting. In order to understand the lack of transparency and all the different things that are going on, you really need to listen to the previous shows. We've had a handful of guests that are basically all people who grew up in China, who some thought that the Chinese Communist Party that, you know, ran the place was great. They had no idea there were any problems. Totally grew up in the propaganda bubble, came here and thought, what? The stories are interesting, and I think you'll learn a whole lot. So you can find that under the China tab at wethepeopleradio.us. So, not to belabor, here we go. Our guest, Dr. Chen, has been active in projects concerning China for over 30 years. He's founded, co-founded, or been spokesperson for a number of organizations concerning China. And then I want to just skip to the bottom. I have his whole bio on here so you can find out all the interesting things he has done. He was born in China in 1962, and at the age of 15, he entered the gifted program at China University in science technology. Came to the U.S. in 1982 to study and received his PhD in molecular biology at the University of California, San Diego.
I hope we'll have time to get into that a little bit.
So you can brush up on your microbiology.
One of my favorite topics.
Yeah, me too. I'm totally looking forward to it. He currently owns and runs a molecular biology startup in San Diego. So the good news is you don't have to be a science expert to listen to this show. We just find science experts to come on and tell us what they know by way of shortcutting. And our other guest, Mr. Yurvika Young, came to the United States from China as a college student in 1988, attended Eastern Michigan University in a small town 10 miles east of Ann Arbor. And since 2012, Mr. Young has provided research, analysis, and other services to private investors and not-for-profit organizations covering macroeconomic and geopolitical topics in U.S.-China relations. So these guys are definitely experts on how the U.S. and China all fit together, and I think it's our Skype connection that's hearing every ping and ding in there. We have, we have Yurvika Young on the phone, and we have Dr. Chen on Skype so that they can hear each other, but sometimes we get some other sounds, so enjoy the sound effects, and we'll move forward. All right, guys, where do you want to start?
I didn't hear anything.
Oh, that's terrific. Okay, how's it going? Can you hear us now?
Yeah.
I like the Verizon commercial, that annoying man. Can you hear me now?
So where would you like to start today?
Well, just like to continue from last week.
All right.
Sure, that's great.
Yeah, so now there are lots of new infections around the world with new countries. But communists must have figured out a magic, and their number are down, and so it started to rebrand itself as a world leader in fighting coronavirus. Now has even gone aggressive, demanding the world to be thankful for it having sacrifice the whole province to earn the world valuable time to fight this disease. Have you heard of those?
No, is that the message now?
That's a great angle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Look what we've done for you lately.
Maybe it's just in Chinese, but I read it. That's what I got, and so this is the first thing I want to let you know. Great news.
Yeah. Great news, yeah. I forgot. I told people this might not be a happy show.
Yeah,
but
great news as long as you don't live there, because you are the sacrifice. That's great.
Before we forget, can I ask you about the hotel that collapsed where all these patients are being housed? How do you collapse a hotel?
CIA did it.
Oh.
Oh, of course.
Must be. No, I mean, look, what I want to start out today is I want to ask a serious question for the world to think. It's, of course, understandable. We're all for it, that the whole world is hoping for a speedy end to this terrible pandemic. By the way, WHO still refuses to use the term, and we should I think we should spend a segment of time to discuss that. But anyway, so the world wish a speedy end to this pandemic. Now let's assume that somehow it just did. Right? Somehow this coronavirus just disappeared, like the SARS did in 2003. Then what? The world should think about that question seriously. Then what? Will the world repeat what it did in 2003 and then be complacent and wait for another 2019? And this is the question that I think we should discuss or for the people to think about that question. Mm-hmm. Because if we do not think deep and ask this question, if this pandemic, which has already caused astronomical life and financial losses, if we cannot wake up from this, we're in for another disaster. If we can survive. And so I think this is the most urgent time and also best time for the world to get together to end this, you know, evil CCP. And this is what I want to start with.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's perfect. Let's take a really quick break here, and so we don't have to interrupt you partway through. You are listening to We the People. We are discussing the coronavirus basically everywhere. I was going to say in China, but not really. We're going to look at the what's happening with China and how that affects the rest of us and the spread of this and our ability to fix it, actually. So you're listening to We the People. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying. Now I want to understand. I have done all that I could to see the evil and the good without hiding. You must help me if you can. Doctor, my
all right, Dr. Chen, let's talk about the Chinese Hi. Communist Party and all their shenanigans.
Yeah. So, well, let's tackle an easier problem first. The CCP, it's supposedly a sovereign country and, you know, has nuclear power. So we'll, it's harder to deal with. But I would like to start off with an easier one, I think. The world needs to get together and solve the WHO problem first. I mean, this is a pandemic. It threatens the whole world. And it's time for the world to get together instead of us being individual countries and get together and for the world's people get together. Think as a world problem. And WHO is a world problem. Maybe I'm too unforgiven, or I just cannot think of one single right thing that the WHO have done positively helping the world in this current pandemic. And so if it hasn't done one thing right, why do we need it? Yesterday I saw, WHO thanking China, giving 20 million, for WHO. China, WHO should put that money right back to China for China and asking Chinese government to spend those money to help its own people. And, I really think it's unethical for WHO even to take that money and thank, you know, China for that. In addition, right, WHO has, been mouthpiece of the CCP, misled the world and now continue to mislead the world and helping to broadcast the CCP's message, promoting CCP's model. And can you believe it? WHO is promoting the CCP's model of fighting this pandemic.
Well, you were telling us last week that a couple of people, that are on the, World Health Organization are members of the CPP. Is that correct?
The former director, yes, Eureka mentioned that Margaret Chan from Hong Kong is WHO's director, I mean general director, for 10 years, from 2007 to 2017. And the current one is, recommended by Margaret Chan.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think listeners or whoever around the world, now we should start a grassroots thing or whatever, we'll make it happen, to ask our own government to ditch the WHO. WHO has done nothing good. Some people call it Wuhan Organization. I call it right now World Health Organization. We should ditch that. We need right now a independent international health organization and start an independent investigation demanding China to open its data, its truth, its original samples for the world to figure out what is going on, because it's right now it's too big. This pandemic is too damn dangerous, and the world's people, the world's government, owe it to themselves to take action, to take a joint action, to circumvent roadblocks such as WHO, and should demand a accountability from the Chinese government. If it refuses to be accountable, then the world needs to take action to abolish that government, one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
The world's people and the world's government needs to do that.
Yeah, first there's the China model for economic growth, which last time I believe Aaron and Bill toward the end of the program brought up, which was like based upon like part of sweatshop and even with ingredients of prison labor. And it involves like environmental deprivation, and it is not sustainable. Now there is WHO is promoting this China model for fighting the coronavirus. It is particularly dangerous. I went to college for 3 years in China, so I have schoolmates, alumni, both in China and here. And the news, the model that the Communist Party promoted is now promoting the China model of locking down people, of suspending all the public transportation, of locking people up in their buildings. This model gave Chinese people, some of my schoolmates, they are fairly accomplished people. Some are like, some teach in universities, some are successful business person. They thought that out of kindness toward other schoolmates who immigrated to the West, they felt China is so safe. Their city got zero, their whole province has zero new cases found, while the U.S. number is like going climbing, I think, to the 400, hundreds, and several European countries has broken like 1,000 mark. So they're out of their kindness and concern, they said, come to China, come back from overseas. So this is how bad the Communist Party has brainwashed, through disinformation, brainwashed the entire country. And that this is why particularly dangerous this China model is.
So let me ask you this. As far as the corona is concerned, can you tell us, we have the flu every year in this country. I think right now close to 20,000 people have died from the flu, and we're looking at, 11 or something right now with the coronavirus. Is this more dangerous than the common flu in terms of, just the sheer numbers of people that are infected and you know, maybe the rate of transmission, is that higher or faster or worse than the common flu?
Yeah, I'll put in a common sense answer and hand over to Dr. Chen. He has a molecular background. Basically, for a flu, there is a vaccine usually, and for a coronavirus, its source is very suspicious, and people do not know. And although it appears that after several times of a transmission between humans, the fatality, its danger would probably reduce. So that is, as far as I can tell. Dr. Chen?
So there are several aspects making this coronavirus more dangerous than flu and even to other viruses. And so the, the death rate, the infectivity or, the RO, those are, some of the regular concept that people can use, to describe other disease, other viruses. But this particular one has something that doctors and scientists are far from understanding. For example, the frequent relapse in recovered patients. This is very strange. For viruses, usually, now this is still, the data is still, that's why it's very important to get the real data. And this data, we don't know how to understand it, but from virologist's point of view or from biologist's point of view, until you have, medicine, right now there isn't available yet, but until you have medicine to suppress replication or growth of a virus, the only effective way for our human to fight this disease is our immune system. So from that perspective, once you have recovered from a virus, you usually will have a lifelong immunity against it. So it usually wouldn't happen. Relapse wouldn't happen. But
right.
Now there's many cases of relapses in recovered patients. That is puzzling. Unexplainable.
Didn't think about that part.
Yeah, that's something that is kind of hitting the news here recently. Is there's, I guess, quite a few cases now being reported of people that have recovered and now are relapsing. We'll talk about that. We have to take a quick break, but let's stay on that for a couple of minutes, and maybe we can explain why that's happening.
I also want to know. A lot of times, everyone gets these flu shots, and then later, the recap is, oh, and by the way, the flu shot this year didn't have this was for the wrong flu. So I guess I'm kind of curious if the flu shot is really doing anything. I've always wondered about that.
No, you're kind of a flu shot hater, but
I am kind of a flu shot hater.
That's all right.
it makes me want to itch my face every time I talk about it. You're not supposed to touch our skin.
Just don't lick your finger.
Yeah. Bill's touching my pen now. He's got it over there on his side with his hand sanitizer.
Sovereign on it.
It's bad. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
What the games people play now, every night and every day now, never meaning what they say now, never saying what they mean. While they while away the hours in their ivory towers, till they're covered up with flowers in the back of a black limousine. Whoa, la da da. Talking about you and me. I don't want to live no more. I don't want to stay here. Ain't gonna spend the rest of my life quietly fading away. Yeah. Give me more play. You take it all you need.
Give us the 411 on flu shots.
So are the flu shots effective? And I know there's no flu shot for the coronavirus, but with the sheer numbers of people catching the regular flu, I don't know, I'm kind of thinking maybe at this point in time it's more dangerous, but if there's no shot for the corona and you can get it again, maybe the corona is the one we got to be concerned about.
What do you think?
First of all,
give us actual science.
Yeah. Let me clarify one thing from the flu. The deaths from the flu, at least in the United States, are usually called flu-associated death. So the flu, in fact, some people, because they have already sickness in some other area, mm-hmm. and this caused them to deteriorate. So in this case, flu is a trigger. It could be a fall. It could be, so that all lumped together to be a flu-associated death. So now you have, in fact, if you add all these death cases together, the number could be higher than the actual death. So say there's a person died of, flu-associated symptom. So he could die once. I mean, in terms of statistic, he can die once as a flu-associated death. And he could be counted again as maybe he died of a heart failure, right? And the heart failure could have some other symptoms, so he could be counted three or four times. So. But this coronavirus is different. I mean, they die from this coronavirus because you look at their X-ray, look at the lung clearly. That is the direct cause. All right, so the number we have to understand this number better. So when some people say the flu has caused X number of deaths, right, it's not a direct cause; it's an indirect cause. But still, flu is a disease; it caused death. Right? That there's no denial of that. But the death rate, the flu death rate is much lower. And second, we understand the flu much better. Okay? We don't understand this coronavirus. And so when we don't understand it, the cure is not inside. I mentioned the relapse. All right? There's a second thing we don't understand. The varying incubation period. We still haven't figured out what is the incubation period. There, I think it just yesterday or the day before, there's a German tourist, visiting Egypt. He died from this pneumonia in just a short few days. Okay. And some people die very quickly. Some people have incubation period as long as 50 days. Right? So the very incubation period is another thing that we don't understand, right? And then this virus, now data shows that it doesn't just attack lung. Sure, it attacks the lung, but it also attacks bone marrow, heart, liver, kidney, spleen, brain.
Wow.
And is that different from the regular flu, since I've never actually studied the actual flu?
It's different from many other diseases,
many
other viruses, right? It's like affected so many things, right? And so that is still to be understood. We don't understand how that happened, all right? And then, believe it or not, there's a case of human-to-dog transmission. Now, that may be a rare case, but there is a case. When there's one case, it could be very dangerous, because once you transmit from human to dog, you can quarantine human. But maybe it's a whole set of different problems to control those animals, right?
Sure. Yeah, no, sure. Okay. I mean, how many people in this country have dogs and play catch with them every day and get the dog saliva on their hands? And wow.
Right. And so before this can all be understood and explained, there's another thing. There's a high rate of mutation with this coronavirus. Right? Now, remember, the more replication, the mutation goes with its replication. So if there are more viruses out there growing, the total number of mutation would go up exponentially. So with this high rate of mutation, it could change very quickly and come up with a new phenotype or new infectivity, new damages. So all this added together should caution us against the otherwise normal expectation of a successful development of vaccines or medicine to combat this virus. And that is another thing, probably most severe thing that we should take into account.
Right.
That it could be a while. We don't know. We hope we can get there quickly, but we better be cautious.
Well, yeah, if it's constantly mutating, I mean, how do you build a vaccine against something that mutates so quickly? And I was listening to a talking head the other day, and they were talking about if this virus does mutate and go airborne, that's where we're really going to have a problem.
It's already airborne.
It is airborne. Okay, well, they said that is where it will transmit very quickly. Because I thought he was saying that right now it is transmitted through droplets. So if somebody sneezes or coughs, or it's carried through droplets, which quickly fall to the ground. And so unless you have direct contact with the droplets, you're probably not going to get it. But if it's airborne, you're going to be breathing it. Is that correct?
Well, there are two kinds of airborne. Droplet is airborne.
Okay.
Right. But there's also another type of airborne where it's like almost like it's floating. It's like it's all like a gel.
Mm-hmm.
Where imagine Jell-O, right? And something you put there, it was suspended. It wouldn't go down to the bottom. It wouldn't sink. So if you picture the droplet would sink to the ground, right? Imagine something that keep it afloat, and that is the second type of airborne, mm-hmm. right? But this transmission of this coronavirus is more than that. So it's already found that where your hand touch, say, toilet. Toilet has a high count of virus. People already found that out, right? When you use a public toilet, that could be
sure.
That could a source of infection. So touch, right? And that's why doctors tell us to wash our hands extensively, right? And so the point is.
Bill's despondent. He doesn't see any way out now.
Yeah. I'm doomed.
my brother-in-law's learned how to do almost anything in a public bathroom with his feet. He's just really pretty limber. he can do almost anything with his feet. Bill, however, is not quite as limber. He's doomed.
So even if you can do with your feet when you go home, will your shoes carry the virus to your home? No, I'm not trying to make it worse than it is.
Okay? I think I'm going to leave Bill at the studio. This is not
looking
good.
I'm not trying to make it worse than it is. I'm just making a cautionary note that until we understand this virus, we shouldn't be holding our breath for a speedy discovery of cure. That's what I'm trying to say.
Right, right. And they were saying that as well, that this virus, because of, so much is unknown about it and because it's mutating, this isn't going to be like the flu you get during flu season. This could be something that sticks around all year round.
It's the lingering flu.
So, yeah, that would make it a little bit more dangerous.
I hope not, but, we cannot be wishful.
Mm-hmm.
Bill's getting ready to make a run on the Purell factory. He's over here using it like it's going out of style.
So with that, I want to go back to the thankful part.
Okay, hold that thought. We'll come back with good news. Momentito. Quick break. You're listening to We the People. Please join us online at wethepeopleradio.us. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good, so good. I got a year. Wow, I feel nice. A sugar and spice. I feel nice. I'm all right. Nobody but about me. Why you got to give me a fight? Can't you just let it be?
So if you are using hand sanitizer, I heard that it has to be at least 60% alcohol. I know there's a lot of alcohol-free hand sanitizers out there. Do they help?
I am not sure.
That's a hard pass.
Yeah.
I
just go with the alcohol.
I heard yesterday there was a vodka manufacturer that was putting out a warning that they didn't have a high enough alcohol content to kill germs.
Yeah.
Just an interesting reason to advertise for a vodka manufacturer. So you had some kind of
some good news.
Was it good news?
Oh no! I wasn't.
No good news today.
I was saying, I want to go back to China. Want people to be thankful for. I want to go back to that topic.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure.
The dangerous topic.
The near brush with good news.
Said, how dangerous that is. All right. So, in fact, inside China, the CCP has already, in Wuhan, where the epicenter is,
mm-hmm.
the party boss of Wuhan already order or demand or force people to be thankful to the CCP. Right. And so that, goes with what Erica just said, it wants the world to, follow its model, right? What has China done? What has the CCP done? Have they come up with the vaccine? What have they have come up with the medicine? Right? The only thing they have done to the world is to waste a good month, at least good month, before informing the world what's going on. And get this outbreak out of control. Right? That's the only thing. And yet, what I want to impress our listeners, right, is if the world, if international society does not forcefully intervene when it still has a chance, the CCP will make the world to watch it lock down one city after another, generate humanitarian disasters in those cities, and then in the end effect the genocide of their own residents, all using this virus as its weapon and excuse. Now, let me lay it out why this is so, right? While we have not figured out any cure or defense against this terrible virus, the CCP has already forced the Chinese people to go back to work. And this has already backfired in several cities and caused community spread. Community spread is a term where it's a, you know, it just spread through the community, through people getting together, right, infect each other, right? And so this barbaric measure will eventually lead to the second or a multitude of waves of infection in China. And then the CCP will take advantage when, you know, all countries are busy with their own struggle against the virus. And whitewash its own problem inside China until it get out of hand, just like, you know, China was trying to suppress the initial information on this coronavirus until it got out of hand. So this theme is going to repeat again until that problem, that the multitude wave escalate into humanitarian crisis. And eventually it will develop into a widespread genocide. Let me explain the genocide, okay? You know, when we think about genocide, we think about, you know, killing of a whole people of different race. Right? Mm-hmm. But it's a killing of a large group of people. Now inside China, the people of Wuhan, people living in Wuhan, associated with Wuhan, they are right now being discriminated around China. They're rounded up, they're chased out, right? And so migrant workers inside Wuhan now, they're trapped in Wuhan. They have little resources. Some are forced to, you know, part with what they essentially need, and there's some are already exchange with their cell phone for food. Think about that. Once they run out of everything and die, their immediate family wouldn't know what happened to them because they can't communicate with them. Right. There's no communication. There's no information. Right. So on February 18th. Okay. I could be wrong with the date, but I remember February 18th. The CCP, the central government, announced the party's concern for Wuhan people and mobilized 40 mobile incinerators for medical waste and animal bodies. Moved 40 of those incinerators into Wuhan. Right. And as a show of the CCP's support for Wuhan people, what the world didn't know is that 40 incinerator amounts to the capacity of burning. You can calculate from the tonnage, and it amounts to the ability to burn through 3,333 average human bodies.
I knew you were going to say that.
And then with the incinerators or the mortuary capacity inside city, it can process through 5,000-6,000 human bodies. Now, the Nazis even have to hide their incinerator in concentration camp. The CCP publicly reported, publicly announced it as a favor, as a favor from the CCP to Wuhan people. Think about that. Right? So it's massive killing, massive deaths at least going on. If the world do not get together and forcibly intervene. Now, I understand that they're all busy with their own fight against this disease. Now, if the terrible thing is that China holds a lot of the materials, product material, and China claims it to be the world factory, right? So it holds the production chain, the bottom part of the production chain. And if the Chinese production, the Chinese people are decimated, what will the world do? What will happen to the world? China, say, for example, holds 3/4 of the material for making over 300 kinds of 300. There was a number. There was over 300 generic medicine around the world. If they stop making those, what would happen to the world?
Oh yeah, we've already we're already starting to experience that. I was hearing the other day that a lot of the generic drugs are starting to become in short supply because so many of them are produced in China, and we've
the main components, critical components,
come from there, and so it's going to affect us.
The part is it doesn't have to be critical. It could be not critical.
That's true.
It still wouldn't. You know, you still cannot make a medicine from it.
That's true.
Right? For sure. So this is the time that the world get together, not to get individual. The world needs to think about getting together and stop the problem from its root, and the root is the CCP.
Yeah.
You okay? You have something to add?
The humanitarian disaster is already taking place. We are not hearing much of that because those transient workers who went to coastal cities at the urge, as demanded by Beijing. They went to, by the way, the hotel collapsed. It is along the coast. It is across from Taiwan. And these coastal cities, they are engaged in labor-intensive production, and they need these workers to go back. However, because of the threat of the community spread of the virus, and these local officials, they are not able to handle the inflow of so many people.
Terrific. We'll pick that up on the other side of the break. We've got a news break coming up. Join us online at We The People Radio. You can find all our archives and everything at wethepeopleradio.us.